Good morning. This is Sunday morning, May the 10th, Mother's Day. So I want to, first of all, wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a wonderful day getting to spend some time, even though it might be over the phone or remotely, at a distance with your children. And then to all the non-mothers, I would encourage you today to make sure, if your mom's still with you, to tell her that you love her in some way, express that love to her. And if your mom's gone, just remember her. Maybe tell somebody a story about her, and that way bring a memory back to your mind and love on her a little bit. And so today, this morning and tonight, I'll be preaching what I consider Mother's Day messages. This morning, I'm going to talk about a lady that got a blank check from Jesus. And then tonight, I'm going to talk about a woman that God calls great and what made her great. And so thank you for tuning in this morning. I hope the messages both this morning and tonight are a blessing. I do want to also, before I start, thank all the folks that came to the day of prayer on Thursday. We had 42, had a good prayer meeting. And again, it just made me look even more forward to the time we could get back together, even if we have to do it and practice social distancing when we can get back together at church. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, the story that we're going to look at is recorded in verses 21 through 28 in Matthew chapter 15. So let's read those together. Here's what the Bible says. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time we can spend in your word. Thank you for this part that you recorded for our edification. And I pray that as we look at it this morning and as we talk about it this morning and as we consider the faith of this mother, that it would be an encouragement to us, that we too would have that same kind of faith in Jesus. And then I pray for those that are listening that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would convict them this morning, that they're sinners, there's the penalty for their sin, and that Jesus paid it for them. And if they come and receive him, he'd free them from the condemnation and penalty of sin, forgive them, give them a home in heaven. And so just work in this time we spend into your word. You promise that it doesn't never returns void, and we claim that promise this morning and ask you to use it to bless all that hear it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This story that we read from Matthew chapter 15 is also in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. It's one of the many events that happened in the life of Christ that God chose to include in the Bible. And you know that everything that Jesus did when he was here on this earth is not included in the Bible. God has picked out certain things that he wants us to have. John says if everything was recorded in a book that Jesus was done and that Jesus did while he was here on earth, then the world can contain the books. And so this is a story that God has chosen to put in the Bible, and he's chosen to put it in the Bible for us. There's a lesson, there's a message, there's a principle that he wants us to learn from this story. And I think it's an especially sweet message, especially on this day that we've set aside to honor a mothers. The story is a simple one. Jesus had gone into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He'd gone into a house to get away from the crowd to rest for a while. a Gentile woman, a woman of Canaan. Mark tells us that she was a Greek from Syrophoenicia, heard that he was in this place. And she came to see him. And when she came into his presence, she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. My daughter is vexed with the devil." At first, Jesus ignored her. We read that he didn't say anything to her. And then his disciples came to him and said, "Master, please send her away. She crieth after us." So apparently when Jesus didn't answer, or maybe it was before she got to Jesus, that she asked them for help too. And so she crieth after them. And so the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Hey, send this woman away. She's bothering us. She's asking us to do something that we can't do." But the mother didn't give up. The mother didn't give up when the disciples ignored her. The mother didn't give up when Jesus ignored her. And she came back and she said, "Lord, help me." And finally, Jesus acknowledged her presence, but he did it in a way that was sort of discouraging, at least from the mother's standpoint. He said, "Hey, lady, I wasn't sent to the Gentiles. I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel." In effect, he was saying, "Hey, I'm sorry. I can't help you. I wasn't sent to help you. I was sent to help the nation of Israel." But that didn't deter the mother. The Bible says that she came back. She asked again, "Lord, help me." And then she began to worship him. And she kept on pleading with Jesus and said, "Please, please, please help me." And Jesus again said something that was very discouraging, that would, again, from a lady's standpoint, from the mother's standpoint, would have been very discouraging. He said, "Look, it's not right for me to take the bread that was meant for the children and give it to dogs." Of course, in the Jewish eyes, every Gentile was a dog. And Jesus, again, he was using the truth. "Look, you don't take bread that you prepared for your children and give to your dogs." And again, he said, I was sent to the house of Israel, to the children of Israel, and I was sent to them, to help them. I can't take what I've been given to help them and help you." But that didn't even deter the mother. She kept on and she said, "Lord, you're right. You speak the truth. You don't prepare bread for your children and give it to the dogs. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs of the bread that was meant for the children as those crumbs fall on the floor." And that's when Jesus took out, figuratively, his checkbook, and he said, "Woman, great is thy faith." And he says, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." I mean, he signed the check and he said, "You fill it in. Whatever you want, because of your great faith, you can have." And again, she got that blank check from Jesus because of her faith. Later on in the book of Matthew, a couple chapters later, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, and this is Jesus talking again, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed," mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that there is, "ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." That's exactly what happened to this woman. She got a blank check from Jesus and said, "Hey, whatever you want, because of your faith, you can have." Now, let me look at this story and make three Mother's Day applications. And again, you may think this message is for moms, but it's to dads and it's to everybody. It's to everybody that's listening. So three applications. Number one, the devil is after our children. The devil is after our children. The devil had hers. By her own testimony, she said her daughter was grievously vexed by a devil. Other places we read in the Bible of children that were vexed or possessed by a devil. And we read in those places that sometimes the devil caused them to foam at the mouth or to throw themselves into the fire or to throw themselves into water and try to drown themselves. in some other way try to hurt them themselves. Now, again, we don't know everything that this mother's daughter did. We don't know if she tried to hurt herself in various ways. All we know is what the mother says, my daughter is vexed by a devil. And it was something that this mother had to live with day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Again, we don't know how long she was vexed with the devil. It could have been just a little bit of time, or it could have been a long time. But all the time that she was vexed with the devil, I'm sure that the mother lost much sleep because she stayed awake at night to protect her daughter from herself. I'm sure she shed many tears for her child. I'm sure she went to many different people to say, hey, I need you to help my daughter. She went, she probably went to the gods of the Canaanites and their ministers, the ministers of those false gods, and says, can you help my daughter? Can you take care of my daughter? And so the first application this morning is a warning that the devil is after our children. The devil knows that if he can get that child while it's a child, he'll have that child for their whole life and then for all eternity. And so the devil pulls out all the resources that he has at his disposal to come after our children. He uses things like divorce. Again, a large percentage of marriages today end in divorce. And it's sad. It's sad for the man and the woman, the husband and wife that's involved. But if there's children involved, it's sadder for the children. And the devil often uses divorce and that split family to keep that child out of church. And so the child doesn't get to come to church. He doesn't get to be taught about God. And the devil uses that to come after them. The devil uses the public education system to come after them. You know, we used to have prayer and read the Bible in the public schools. And they outlawed that in this nation. In fact, I don't know if it's still true today, but a few years ago, the only two nations in the world that outlawed prayer in school was the United States of America and Russia. Every other nation allowed prayer in schools. And now schools teach humanism. They teach children, hey, that you don't need God. You're your own God. You can decide what's right and wrong for yourself. You can decide how to live your life. You can control your own destiny. And so the devil uses the schools to come after our children. He uses television to come after our children. There's more wickedness and filth on TV than ever. You know, growing up, even though the shows weren't perfect, we had shows about families and moms and dads that raised those families and try to teach them values. And now you see all sorts of wickedness on TV and even the commercials. I've used this illustration before. Let's say that somebody came to your door and knocked on the door and say, hey, I'd like to borrow your children for 60 seconds. Just send them out here for 60 seconds. I got a band. I got a pro athlete. I got some men and women that look good and look prosperous. And you might ask, well, why do you want my kids? What do you want them for 60 seconds? Well, they say, I'm going to use this band and I'm going to use this pro athlete, or I'm going to use this man and this woman, and I'm going to try to convince them that alcohol is good for them and that they should drink it. You would slam the door. You wouldn't let them borrow your kids for 60 seconds. But when we sat and let them watch commercials about beer and other wickedness, that's what we're doing. And again, I could go on down the list. I could talk about the music and the computer games and even the social media. The devil will use everything that he can to get our children. And oftentimes, the only thing that stands between the devil and the child is their mother. Many a boy, many a girl have been rescued from the life of sin, a life of wreck, by godly mothers. John Newton, as a young man, went to sea. He lived a life of sin, vile, wicked life. Back home, his gray-haired mother spent every day in prayer for her boy. One day, the ship that John Newton was on went through a terrible storm, and John Newton made a deal with God. He said, "If you save me, I'll live for you." That day, John Newton's mother's prayers were answered. God saved her boy. He became a preacher. He wrote the hymn that we all love, "Amazing Grace." "I grieve my Lord from day to day. I scorned his love so full and free. And though I wandered far away, my mother's prayers have followed me. O'er desert wild, o'er mountain high, a wanderer I chose to be. A wretched soul condemned to die, still mother's prayers have followed me. He turned my darkness into light, this blessed Christ of Calvary. I'll praise his name both day and night, that mother's prayers have followed me. I'm coming home, I'm coming home, to live my wasted life anew. For mother's prayers have followed me the whole world through." The devil's after our children. And I say to all the mothers and the fathers this morning, are you standing in the gap? Again, oftentimes the only thing between a child and Satan getting that child is a godly mom or a godly dad. Number two, the greatest need that your child has is to know Jesus. This woman was a Gentile. She had as much respect for the Jews as they had for them. None. They hated each other. The Gentiles and the Jews hated each other. By all social custom, by all tradition, this mother should have had nothing to do with Jesus. And yet, here's what I think happened. I think she'd heard how Jesus had made the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk. I think maybe she perhaps had come to see the miracles for herself. She heard him preach. She heard him teach. Maybe she was there when he took the small loaves of bread and a couple of fish and fed the 5,000 men. Maybe she was there when he cleansed a leper. Or maybe she was there when Jesus cast out demons from others. And regardless of the social customs, regardless of the tradition, regardless of the hatred that this woman of Canaan had for this Jewish man named Jesus, she said, "That's what my little girl needs. That's what my daughter needs. She needs Jesus. She needs to come into his presence. She needs to have the miraculous touch that Jesus can give her." Many mothers today have given their lives for their children. They put aside their dreams and their desires, and they've lived or are living lives for their children. Some of them have gone to work. They've made sacrifices so that their children could have what they didn't have. And to all the moms this morning, and to all the dads this morning, I'll point out to you that the greatest need that your child has is not the latest designer clothes, it's Jesus. It's not the newest toy, it's Jesus. It's not the latest design of tennis shoes, it's Jesus. It's not the new car, it's not the college education, it's not the things of the world, it's Jesus. So many parents today spend their lives working and making money so their children won't have to do without. Their children can have what moms and dads didn't have, and your child would be a lot better off if mom and dad, you spent time teaching them stories about Jesus, taking them to church, praying for them, reading the Bible to them, teaching them about God. The greatest need that your child has, even today, this day in 2020, the greatest need that your child has is Jesus. And then application number three, the way to save your child from the devil is persistent, faithful prayer. That mother came to Jesus and said, "Help me." He ignored her. She said, "Help me." The disciple says, "Send her away." She said, "Help me." Jesus says, I wasn't sent to the Gentiles. She said, help me. Jesus says, I can't take the bread that was meant for the children and give them to the dogs. And she said, help me. Even the dogs get to eat a crumb. I'm not asking for a whole piece of bread. I'm just asking for a crumb that would fall to the floor. A crumb that if it was a literal table and literal bread, you wouldn't have any problem with a dog eating that crumb that fell to the floor. Sometimes we're so shallow in our prayers. Jesus ignores us and we quit praying. Or others say, hey, you're wasting your time asking for that. And we quit praying. Or perhaps Jesus said, not now. We quit praying. Jesus says later, we quit praying. We need to do what this mother did. We need to do, she grabbed hold of Jesus and like Jacob and like Hannah and like others in the Bible said, I'm not letting go. I'm not leaving. I'm not going to shut up until you help my daughter. You can ignore me. You can call me a dog. You can tell me that I don't deserve the bread that was meant for the children, but I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep begging. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep saying, help me, help me, help me, until you do. And so I ask the moms this morning. I'll ask the dads this morning. How big is your desire to save your kids? How much do you want them to turn out right? How strong is your will to keep Satan from getting them? All that can be measured by how much you pray. How much do you pray for your kids? How long do you spend down on your knees? How many times have you come to an altar and shed tears? How many nights have you lost sleep begging God to save your children? This mother said, Jesus, I have to have help, and I'm not leaving you until you help me. You can ignore me. You can send me away. You can call me a dog. But again, I'm not leaving till I get help. And that's when Jesus says, oh, woman, oh, mother, great is thy faith. And he said this, hey, you don't have to eat the crumbs. Here's a chair. Pull up to the table. Here's the bread. Take as much as you want. He says, be it unto thee even as thou will. And she got what she needed. She got the power to beat the devil. The Bible says her daughter was completely healed instantaneously. Now in the book of Mark says she had to go home. But when she got home, she found the devil expelled from her daughter. So again, on this Mother's Day, 2020, I would remind you, the devil's after our children. The greatest need that they have in their life is Jesus Christ. And the way we can save them is to have the kind of faith that this mother had to say, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving until you help my child. Now, we can't have that kind of faith unless we have Jesus in our own life. We can't save our children from the devil until we've been saved ourselves. And we can't save ourselves. The only way we can be saved is to come to Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're listening to this and you've never received Christ as your Savior, and what I mean by that, you've never admitted to Christ that you're a sinner. You've never acknowledged that there's a penalty for that sin. You've never believed in your heart and confess with your mouth and ask Jesus to save you, that's what I'm talking about. If you've never done that, I can't think of a better day to do it than Mother's Day 2020. Will you tell God you know that you're a sinner? You acknowledge that he has the right to punish that sin, but that you believe that he loved you and that he sent his son to die in your place to save you from the penalty of your sin. If you'll do that this morning, that's what he'll do. He'll save you from the penalty of that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it's not just talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death, where we're separated from God here and for all eternity. God's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance, that all should be saved, that all should come to know Christ. Would you do that this morning? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of your sin. Let the Holy Spirit bring you to Christ. And just real simply say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty of sin, but I believe that you're the Son of God. You love me and you died to pay for my sin. And this morning, I receive that gift of salvation that you offer to every person. I believe on you. I'm asking you to save me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time we've been able to spend in your word. Thank you for the example that this woman is to all of us. I pray that we would learn to have her faith, that regardless of how many times we get pushed back, how many times you may say no, that we would say no, that the need is great. I want my children saved from the devil, and so I'm going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back until you help me. And I pray, Father, that every mom and every dad could hear the words that this woman heard. Great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as thou wilt. Father, I pray that you would make it so. In Christ's name, amen.